Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Pret Center Matt Duchesne for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, you know, a 6-1 loss last night to Tampa Bay. They've been outscored their last two games 10-2. I still contend the game Friday night against Florida may have been even worse than what we saw in the last two games, even though the score would tell you differently. It's just been a rough stretch for the Predators as of late. 5-8 on the season so far. They've lost 5 of their past 6 games. And quite honestly, I think you can sense the frustration from Matt Duchesne in the conversation we just had with him. I'm sure he's not alone. I've sensed it in the post-game press conferences the last couple of nights as well. This team is searching right now to try to find some answers, and they're just not coming offensively with the last stretch that they've been on here.
Yeah, some strong words there from Duchesne. Some you know, demoralizing, rock bottom offensively. I think he said, you know, he can't remember. I think he said many teams.
Yeah,
tried to paraphrase that. That have been through such a dry stretch offensively. So clearly, there's frustration. I mean, Matt Duchesne, as before we even had him weekly, it was pretty clear. Matt Duchesne is definitely a glass half full guy.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
We can all agree on that. He would say that. I think he trends toward the
generally
positive.
Serves you well as a player.
He has a positive outlook, and so that was probably, I would say, as down as I've heard him.
I think it was just honest. Like, I mean, I don't know how you could come away honestly looking at this stretch that they're on right now, really thinking any other way. I mean, offensively, they're 27th in the league right now. I mean, you take out a 6-goal performance the other day, where would they be offensively in terms of the rankings right now? I mean, it's just there's a lot to be desired on that side of it. And that's not even to talk about, like, we got through the whole interview there. We weren't even talking about the penalty kill, which is dead last in the league as well. I mean, offensively, they are just searching right now for some answers. And, you know, you look at the lineup last night, and, you know, Nick Cousins is a healthy scratch. Ellie Tolvanen back to the taxi squad. Eric Halla, a healthy scratch as well. And, look, I realize that those three guys I just rolled off, they're not, like, game-breaking players offensively. And I understand the production really hasn't been there from them either. But I feel like, especially in Tolvanen's case, there's at least, like, a ray of sunshine there, like a hope at the end of the tunnel. Like, he's a first-round pick. He's scored at every level he's been at. And you know that he's got a really high-level shot. So when you're struggling offensively like this team is, some of the lineup decisions last night, like Michael McCarron being in the game and, you know, Sean Malone being in the game, I realize some of this is out of necessity just based on injury. But I had a problem last night with Ellie Tolvanen not playing in this game. Again, I'm not saying Ellie Tolvanen is like this star forward or anything, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But I was pretty surprised that he was not in the lineup yesterday.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We know what he does well. He does things well that this team badly needs. And it is time. It will be more time if things keep going poorly. But it is time, I think, to see what some of these guys can do for you.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about goalie. And I think you're right. You know, Vingan is big. And we'll have him later. We can talk this through. But, you know, he tweeted about, you got to just let Saros, let's see what you got, you know, what you have with Saros. But to your point, I agree with you. I mean, if Pekka is playing better right now and you are still in a season and you're caring about your results, then you just have to go with whoever's better.
Look, there's a narrative out there. And look, I totally understand it to some degree from the fans that there's a lot of fans that feel like this season is a lost cause already. You're 13 games in, they're 5-8. They didn't like the roster moves made coming into the season. Some fans are still very mad. There's not a youth movement going on right now. I mean, I've heard it all on Twitter, and I know, I understand. I understand the frustration. But I'm here to tell you, the Predators are not just going to pack it in 13 games into the season. So right now, if Pekka Rinne gives you your best chance to win, you've got to go with Pekka Rinne. I understand that maybe some fans don't want to do that, and they want to rebuild, and they want to get, you know, knee-deep into quote-unquote tanking. I saw some of those tweets rolling my way last night. That's not going to happen. I mean, and quite frankly, this draft's not a very good draft to tank in anyway. But that's not going to happen. So that's the way I approach it. Now, if you get later on down the road here and things don't start to turn around, then maybe you do go that route. And UC Saros needs to have the majority of the playing time, and you've got to see what you have. Quite frankly, it's getting to the point with UC Soros where I think I know what they have, and that is a very good goaltender, not a franchise goaltender. I think he's a good goalie. I've seen nothing right now to prove to me that UC Soros is the next guy that's going to be the franchise guy here. I just haven't. And how much more body of work do you need to see before that's just the conclusion? I'm not saying they're there yet, but I'm pretty close.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I guess the one argument you could make is he's never been in the position of having a full season as the guy. Of course, the problem with that then is this isn't a full season. It's a weird season. It's back-to-backs all the time.
Well, we're also 13 games into what was supposed to be that year, and it feels like he's already lost his job.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that tell you something right there?
He has an .843 save percentage in his last six starts.
Yeah. That's not going to get it done.
Is that bad? Hashtag?
Yes.
It's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
And look, not all of it's his fault. I mean, I fully realize that. The penalty kill has been atrocious in front. It doesn't matter which goalie's out there. The penalty kill's not been good this year. And they had some slam dunks last night on the power play. I mean, you give Steven Stamkos a couple wide open nets, not going to miss.
It also doesn't matter who your goalie is when, to Matt Duchene's point, you've only scored three goals in the last three games.
Also true. I mean, that's just not going to get it done offensively.
Yeah, I mean, they were just overmatched. And this is where it does feel different to me from, like, the frustration of all of last season. And of course, there's nights where you just get bombed. Edmonton coming in here last year, whatever. But, you know, you have those games. But we've seen a lot of them against Tampa Bay recently, and it's been a lot of years since a Nashville Predators team came out to the ice, and it's just like they are just absolutely outclassed by the opposition, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's varsity versus JV. I mean, it's been a while.
That's what it looked like.
I mean, how long has it been?
Oh, it's been several years. Several years.
And Tampa Bay, of course. I mean, I think Tampa Bay is probably going to win another cup, so you got to keep that in mind too. But still, I think that's part of the word, you know, that Duchene used, and he didn't say that, what I just said, but he used the word demoralizing. I think for fans, that's got to be part of it too, to just see their team really not have a chance against the top, top crust of the league when they were in that crust not that long ago.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Marty texts in, says, when does Hines start to feel the heat? Look, I mean, I've seen a lot of that on Twitter. I mean, how many coaches do you need to go through before you start turning your attention to the players? That, to me, is the question. I mean, the players here, they've got to be better. And maybe it's to the point where they're not going to be better. I mean, we've been having this same conversation for over a year now with this group, really over 2 years. When you think about some of the players that we're talking about here, I understand that the coach is always the guy that gets the blame. But Peter Laviolette, you made the coaching move last year. You've brought in a new coach. And some of these guys that we've talked about, the production hasn't gotten any better. So like, at what point does the attention have to turn to them? I think if we're not there already, we're very close.
Yeah, I mean, imagine making seriously. I mean, it's not even something you'd think about, but imagine making like a coaching change anytime soon.
It just doesn't make sense.
Given the issues.
I understand the frustration. I do. I'm not saying John Hines is like the long-term answer. I have no clue. Do I think he's a good coach? I don't know. I don't know. But we've already gone down the coaching road. The next is the players. Like, it's got to be.
Yeah. The next thing that happens is serious changes to the lineup with core pieces moving out to try to, whether it's, I guess that's probably something we'll talk about unless things change dramatically. But whether it's full-blown, blow it up, or some kind of significant retooling. But either way, there's going to be at least a core piece or two who are not here anymore, right, this doesn't change.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, trade Jofa for Malkin and Crosby. See how that works.
Okay.
They ought to trade for Connor McDavid. You think they can pull that off?
Sure.
Could they do like a three-team trade and then somehow get Crosby and McDavid here? I think that would be awesome. That would be pretty good.
If you can do that, maybe an option they look at.
Maybe they could get Brady in here because Brady, I would imagine, would have mystical powers over a hockey team too. Tell me Tom Brady can't score you a few goals on the power play?
I mean, he's already touched the cup, though. Is that a curse? He took a picture with the Bruins and the Lightning.
I mean, actually, I mean, has he gotten the proper credit for the Bruins, all the cups they won? I mean, he's got it, right?
They only won one while he was there.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to have at least
40% already one for
of the
one
credit.
With the Lightning, though. Could be on his way to another one.
Coincidence?
I mean, Tampa Bay didn't become Champa Bay until Tom Brady signed there.
Yeah. I think this is a good segment for later, Jared.
Oh, man. But, I mean, look, the frustration is palpable. It's not just Duchesne. Like, after Monday night's game, just go back and watch the clips of Fabbro and Yossi. I mean, just visibly frustrated. Forsberg last night, visibly frustrated. And, you know, as much as they've gone through over the past year and the struggles that they've had, very rarely have they been, you know, visibly frustrated in the media. That's starting to happen a lot more often now, and that to me tells me about a team that's trying to find answers in as many ways as they can offensively, and just absolutely nothing is working right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to – look, you know how it is after any kind of loss, any sport, it's always, well, it's not them, you know, it's what we didn't do. It's never easy to just say we aren't good enough or the opponent was just flat better than us, you know? I mean, of course, you have to look within and say, what can we do better? And that's fine, but it's very hard. And I think it's probably hard for some of these guys to come to terms with where they are right now. And going back, winding it back to the texter there on John Hines, I mean, first of all, it's very early. I mean, I think there is a concern, or there are valid questions about are the pieces being utilized well enough to score? But I mean, I've also seen a lot of chances for guys to finish and make plays, and they just haven't done it. I mean, how much is system in this league? You've talked about it this week. I mean, you know, there's limitations to what system means.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got some chances, some point-blank chances, you got to bury them. I mean, that's part of this is they're getting some chances, and they just have no finish to them right now. I mean, that's a personnel issue. That's not a system issue. I'm not saying John Hines' system is perfect, because it's not. I think that there are some problems with it right now that they need to take a look at and that they need to adjust to. And we'll see whether or not they can do that as the season goes on. But it's always a little more complicated than, hey, the coach, you got to get him out. I think we're way too early in that conversation. When we come back, speaking of the coach, some interesting lineup decisions last night for the Predators. What did we think about the approach to the game last night against Tampa Bay? We'll discuss that when we come back. Get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that coming up. And 1025 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that chance for you coming up on Friday. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fan, join us tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live with special guest former Predator Jordan Tutu. Plus, you'll want to tune in for the keyword to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 during the show for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. We've also gone virtual this year, and that means you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam Bingen from The Athletic will join us in the next segment, so looking forward to getting his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as well. But Joe, some interesting decisions last night from John Hines. Nick Cousins, Eric Halla, a healthy scratch in the game last night against Tampa Bay. Ellie Tolvanen sent back to the taxi squad, which is kind of just a fancy word for a very fluid situation this year. You can call players back up to the taxi squad or from the taxi squad at any time. But regardless, Tolvanen not in the lineup last night for the Predators. And one of the interesting things to me was the decision that John Hines made specifically with Ellie Tolvanen and his explanation after the game last night. As we know, a 6-1 loss for the Predators. They had been struggling offensively. I thought Eli Tolvanen showed some flashes on Monday night of having some good chances, creating some good looks on the power play, but found himself out of the lineup again. Here was John Hines' explanation on Tolvanen being out of the lineup last night against Tampa Bay.
Hi, John. This is another lineup question. Eli Tolvanen seemed like he played a pretty decent game yesterday. Was sitting him tonight more of like a rotational thing in terms of getting other guys ice time and like Sean Malone, or was it something about his game that you didn't particularly care for last night?
No, it's a good question. I think with Tolvi, I mean, he's a young player coming in. He's played, you know, a few games in a row. We're coming into a back-to-back. I think there was he's doing some good things in his game, but it's also trying to manage a young player and, you know, allow him to be able to play. Some fatigue sets in, or it's a grind of a schedule, particularly this season with, you know, back-to-backs against Florida, a day off, back-to-back against Tampa. He played the game in Tampa. So, you know, it's really about trying to manage him and making sure his game stays up to standard, and he's going to be a guy that, you know, can continue to grow and get better.
So that was John Hines after the game last night explaining the decision to keep Eli Tolvanen out of the lineup. And again, I said it to begin last segment, I'm not confusing Eli Tolvanen for like some all-star forward right now. He's still got a lot of work to do. I still think has especially a lot of work to do away from the puck. But he is a guy that has talent offensively and pretty clearly has a lethal shot when he's able to get open and use it. And with the way things are going offensively, you need all the help you can get if you're the Predators on that part of the ice right now. And quite frankly, like that explanation there from John Hines talking about, you know, managing a player and a back-to-back and all this other stuff, I mean, Tolvanen's 21 years old. He can handle a back-to-back. I didn't quite know what to make of that response there from John Hines. And if that's the decision-making, I don't agree with that being the reason to keep Eli Tolvanen out of the lineup. You need all the offensive help you can get.
Yeah, I mean, the only, like, if you're managing something with him, unless there's just some kind of an injury, we don't know about. But it was short of that. If there's not an injury, like you said, he's young. They play back to backs, and you badly need offense. It was an interesting lineup. It was kind of like it read to me like, here is the grindiest, grittiest possible lineup we can have, and we're gonna try going about it that way.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly seemed to be part of the game plan last night. And early on, you know, Sean Malone comes in the lineup last night. He's got the primary assist on Rocco Grimaldi's first goal, which, by the way, number 3 on SportsCenter last night. Thought it was a good goal. I didn't know if it was.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Hey, good play by Rocco, though, coming back in. And it was a snipe. But you thought, okay, here you are, the Predators. You've had that players-only meeting. You're coming off with a little bit of spark in your game. To begin, Rocco Grimaldi comes out there and makes Tampa Bay pay very early in the game. And then the story that has been with the Nashville Predators outside of the offense this year is the parade to the penalty box. It starts in the first period. You take some, quite frankly, stupid and unnecessary penalties, and all of a sudden you find yourself down 3-1 against Tampa Bay. And with as good as that team is, both offensively but also defensively, good luck coming back when you allow Tampa Bay to build up a lead.
Yeah, they were, like you said, they get the goal, they're flying around, they're blocking shots. You know, you could see that they have this energy that they were trying to bring to the game. And the problem sometimes is that can lead to penalties. You know, that's also that balance, too, is if you're going to try to be that physical and energetic, sometimes you get a little overzealous and go to the box. But either way, this team, in any situation, has just been going to the box too much. And also, right now, we looked it up earlier. They got a chance for the record at this point on penalty kill futility.
Yeah, I mean, they're down. I mean, it's 62.8%. I mean, it's just not going to get it done. Now, I say this because I've said it since the Dallas game. It should get better than that, and it needs to get better than that. I think it will improve from a percentage standpoint, but right now the penalty kill is just bad. I mean, there's no two ways around it. You're not getting the saves that you need to have. You're not playing the way in front of them that you need to play. Tampa Bay moving that puck last night, I mean, it was poetry in motion to watch those guys move that puck on the power play. It was impressive, especially when you compare that to what you see at times on the Predators' power play and the lack of movement. I mean, I understand Tampa Bay's power play is really good. They're also without maybe their best power play player in Nikita Kucherov, which is scary to think about what it could look like if he was on there. But there's a lot of issues right now with this Predators team, and the penalty kill continues to stand out as one of the chief ones that they've had a problem with. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, how about we truly have the youth movement Poyle was talking about? Instead of putting them out there, they play well, then put them back on the taxi squad just to have another young guy play. I'd be okay if they stunk more for giving the youth a chance.
Yeah, I think that's another part of the frustration from fans is there was talk of that. And we talked, I mean, I think we thought for sure that Tolvin was going to get a real chance. We've talked about Tomasino, and, you know, he'll be here.
Two goals yesterday for Philip Tomasino, by the way.
You know, I mean, he's a promising, there aren't a lot of guys right now, you know, in the pipeline who are people talk about much, but Tomasino is one of them. But, yeah, they haven't. Now, is that something that just happens once you get to a certain point and the season is what it is? I mean, at that point, you have to.
Yeah.
But I think we thought there'd be more of that than there has been.
I think so. But also, I mean, we didn't anticipate Mikhail Granlund coming back. We did not anticipate Eric Halla being signed. I mean, things changed throughout the course of free agency when it didn't go the way that I think Granlund thought it was going to go in free agency, and he ends up back here. So the deck got shuffled a little bit with that, but I understand. I mean, you're the fans. You heard David Poyle at the beginning of the offseason talk about a youth movement, and this team's not very much younger.
Someone asked last night if Askarov will be up this year. Like,
I don't think so.
You got to hold off. It's not instant. It's not the NFL.
And it's I don't think that's going to happen this year. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Toronto texts in, if you guys had an untouchable list, who would be on it? For me, it's Josi Forsberg and Duchesne. And that's going to become a popular question if this does not get better sometime soon for the Predators in terms of, all right, what do you do? Like, how do you fix this? How do you – you know, bring some pieces in or move some players around to fix this problem. And the word rebuild has been brought up a couple of times on our text line today, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, there's still some season left to play out here before I'm fully committed to going that route, but I will say that was not on my radar heading into this season. It's absolutely on my radar right now. And my untouchable list for the Predators, I mean, it's Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg. That's about it.
Yeah, I think – you know, I mentioned Arvidsson earlier as someone close just because I like his contract. And Duchesne, it's almost like the opposite reason. You just signed Duchesne and locked him up for this long-term period, you know, to have this important role. You willing to turn around and move him right in a way? I mean, to me, that would be, I would agree, flat-out untouchable, Josi Forsberg. And then I'd put those two guys. And I'd say on the other side of it, of the core pieces, the least untouchable, it's probably Johansson. Because I think potentially you could have a lot of interest in him. But I don't know. I mean, that's
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, I could see people looking at him and saying, okay, there's a lot there. For whatever reason, we haven't seen it as much lately, but there's still a lot there.
I can also see them looking at that contract saying, ooh,
yeah. Yeah.
$8 million a year. Hmm. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to monitor this as it continues down the road. And a guy that we spent a lot of time talking to this about, Adam Vingan from The Athletic. He'll join us next for his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is Love Week here on 102.5 The Game. And today's question is this: what's the most annoying thing about your significant other? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've had some doozies on the text line. We'll announce a winner in the next segment for their chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card, so make sure that you stay tuned in for that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who joins us here. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing? Would you like to submit the most annoying thing about your significant other, or would you like to take the Joe Rex Road route of pleading the fifth?
Yeah, if I want to sleep in the bed tonight and not on the couch, I should probably steer clear. My wife is infallible, as far as I'm concerned.
I just wanted to give you that opportunity, and that's probably a wise decision on your part.
I haven't pleaded the fifth yet.
You did to start the show. I mean, you may have changed
your
mind.
I'm trying to think of the right answer.
Okay.
I got 27 minutes left. Okay. Vingan, very disappointed in you. Come on. You got something.
You don't have to, Adam. See, it's okay.
The difference is, Joe, you and your wife have been married for a long time, so there's some goodwill built up there. I'm still a newlywed,
that is true.
I feel like I have to tread lightly.
Very nicely done, Adam. You've learned very well in your short time being married. Adam, we've been talking, obviously, a lot all show long about the Predators. They've lost 5 out of the last 6. They're 5-8. They cannot buy goals right now offensively. As you look at this team, how much of this, in your opinion, is correctable? And how much of this is maybe just what they are this year?
Well, after the game last night, I asked Philip Forsberg something to that effect. He didn't quite answer the question, though I didn't expect him to be completely forthcoming. But what I asked is that on Monday night, Roman said after the game, Roman Josi, of course, that the team wasn't playing up to its potential. And I asked Philip, is it possible that this is this team's potential? And, you know, I'm sort of answering my own question for myself. Yes, this is what this team is. I do not see anything on the horizon, on the immediate horizon, that will be a cure-all for what ails this team. I think this team's issues run deep. I think it's going to require a full-scale autopsy, whether it's in season, out of season, off season, whatever. Like, I think this team that we're watching, that we've watched get bludgeoned by the Tampa Bay Lightning for the past two nights, is what it is. I don't think they're going to be that much better. So, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, but I don't see a simple fix. I don't see something that can immediately change this team's fortune. So I think we all have to live with the fact that this team is mediocre at best. It might even be below average at best, and the organization is going to have to reckon with that and make some incredibly tough decisions in the coming months.
Autopsy, huh? You've killed the Preds, Adam.
I didn't kill them. They killed themselves.
Yeah, well, it feels like it's going that way. I think Tampa Bay can really highlight your issues, you know? Like obviously the hope for the Preds is that things look a lot different going against the Red Wings, who used to be called the Dead Things, by the way.
We're getting back to that territory.
Yeah, they're basically the Dead Things revisited. But, okay, so let's talk about what you're talking about here, Adam, in terms of tough decisions. Do you think that we're looking at, like, a full-blown, like, start-over kind of thing? Or is there any sort of path to a, I guess, quote-unquote, retooling that could still, you know, not require some long period of time, you know, near the bottom of the league?
Here's my plan, my immediate plan, and you can tell me if I'm ridiculous. Here's what I do in the next several months from a personnel standpoint. I trade every veteran player on an expiring contract. I trade Mikhail Granlund. I trade Eric Halla. I trade Brad Richardson. Those are the types of players that teams in contention love to get at the deadline because they're rentals and they can be effective in certain roles, so I trade all of them. Then, this might be the hardest thing, I trade Matthias Ekholm. Matthias Ekholm is their most valuable asset. He has 1 year remaining on his contract after this one. They're going to have some tough decisions to make in expansion anyway, and I think trading him would actually make it easier for them to figure out their expansion list. I mean, there are teams, like, I think of like a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, a team that has been thirsting for quality defense for, you know, to go with their superstar forward. I mean, I think a team like the Maple Leafs, this is completely hypothetical, of course, would pay a king's ransom for a player like Matthias Ekholm. So I trade Ekholm. Then in the summertime, when the expansion draft comes, I take that draft capital that I got for trading Granlund, Halla, Richardson, and Ekholm. I take a good portion of it, and I go to Seattle general manager Ron Francis, and I say, here are 3 draft picks. Please take Ryan Johansson or Matthew Shane. And then from there, you know, you ride with whichever $8 million center you don't trade, and you start really leaning into the future of this organization, which means players like Philip Tomasino, for example. That is what I would do. I think this core, as is, has gone stale, and I think we saw this season a lot of the secondary pieces around the team being shipped out. You know, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, among others. Now I think you look at the core. I think this core has reached its ceiling. I actually think it reached its ceiling after it lost to Dallas in the playoffs 2 years ago. But those are the immediate moves that I make if I'm trying to engineer a rebuild on the fly.
Okay, so your plan then preserves Forsberg, Yossi, Ellis, Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Okay.
You still need veterans. You can't have, you know, a team full of kids just because, quite frankly, the Predators prospect system is not very good. I mean, there are some good players in it, but it's not like they're flush with high-end prospects. So I still think you need veterans to lead, you know, to lead into that next generation, so to speak. But I move on from every veteran player on an expiring contract. I trade Matthias Ekholm, and I get rid of one of your $8 million centers. That would be my plan forward right now.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, you had a tweet last night that said, quote, "The Predators need to ride or die with UC Saros this season. Pekka is at the end of his career. The team needs to see if Saros can at least be a bridge to Askarov." I don't know whether or not I necessarily agree with that. I think Pekka, if he gives you the best chance to win right now, the team's not going to just punt on this season. But my question to you is this. What have you seen from UC Saros, and has there been anything that you've seen from him that gives you hope that he is a franchise goaltender? Or at this point, do you think he just is what he is, and that is a good NHL goaltender, but not necessarily a franchise goaltender?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I looked at this the other day. I think it was before both Tampa games, which, you know, took a chunk out of both goaltenders' save percentages. But Pecorino and UC Saros were both top 10 goaltenders in even strength save percentage. You know, a lot of the issues they've been having is on the penalty kill. And you saw that last night from UC Saros specifically. I mean, last season, Pecorino was statistically the worst goaltender in the NHL, worst starting goaltender in the NHL on the penalty kill. That's why his statistics were so bad. And, you know, nobody looks good. Nobody escapes unscathed from the Predators' penalty kill. I know that Chase, you know, believes that they should go with Pekka. As I said, I think this season, you know, is slipping away, and I would rather confirm as much as I can what I have in a 25-year-old goaltender versus playing a 38-year-old known commodity who might retire at the end of the season. I just think it's proper asset management, and I think you need to determine, if UC Saros can hold it together for a couple of years, and then hopefully Yaroslav Askarov comes over from the KHL and takes over as the starting goaltender of the future, or if you have to go out and sign someone like James Reimer or Antti Raanta or a veteran goaltender next season, you know, to basically do a 1A, 1B with UC. I understand why people think that. I mean, I think eye test-wise, Pekka has been better than UC Saros. I don't have the statistics in front of me to confirm that, but I just think it does not make sense to me where this team is, you know, to not play UC Saros. You need to ride or die with the guy, and you need to know without a shadow of a doubt what you have. Even though he has a large sample, you need to know without a shadow of a doubt what you have versus what you know you have in Pekka, who might not be here in a couple of months.
All right, since you didn't answer this question, because you never answer my questions on Twitter, I'm going to ask it to you here.
Wow.
You always complain about Pred's Twitter, but what about Pred's Facebook? Like, what's up with Pred's Facebook?
I don't have Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't have Facebook.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I deleted my Facebook.
Well, but
you're asking the wrong guy.
Because I think Pred's Facebook, aren't they like Pekka should start every game forever?
Well,
and
some
ever,
are.
Man.
Pred's Facebook has a variety of opinions.
You could get in a lot of fights with them, Adam.
I think Predator's Facebook is the worst. You'll have to ask Justin Bradford about that.
Yeah.
He knows more about that than I do. I think at the end of the day, somebody tweeted at me last night, "Why do you even allow replies to your tweets?" And I quote tweeted it and said, "Because I am a masochist." So that is what, you know, Robbie gets it too. Predator's Twitter is in one right now. And I get it. They're mad. And I think they have every right to be, but I also think that, you know, the pitchforks need to be put down. I don't think anything's changing in the next couple weeks, you know. But like I said earlier, I do believe that this team needs to take a good, hard look at itself. And I'm not just talking about the roster. I mean, I firmly believe, and Robbie, I think, agrees with me here, this is beyond coaching. I honestly believe that John Hines is doing the best he can with what he has. I don't know if there are any coaches in this league that could squeeze more out of this group than John has. I just think the roster is flawed. I think it's not a very good team. I think that falls at the feet of David Poile. And I think that when they're doing this full-scale autopsy during the offseason, he needs to be included in it.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, appreciate you taking time to join us, brother. Good stuff as always.
All right. I just want to say to my lovely wife that I love her and that there's absolutely nothing wrong with her. She's perfect in every conceivable way.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate that. Very nicely done.
Beautiful.
When we come back, we'll react to what Adam had to say there. Also read off some of the great entries for Love Week in today's edition on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It continues to be Love Week here on 102.5 The Game. And today's question is this: what annoys you the most about your significant other? We've got some great entries on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Today's winner will win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. Joe Rex Road, are you prepared to answer this question?
Yeah, I'll chime in. I did offer up to Katie to also chime in, and so this will probably lead to a fight today.
Let's go.
But you know, on hers, see, it's too long of an answer here. But she said, I'll go the alternative, which is that I rub my toes together when we watch TV over and over.
It just drives her
weird
nuts.
Twitch. For her, I've got to go with she hates my gifts and then makes fun of them.
Yeah.
And then the kids make fun of them.
Well, maybe you should buy better gifts.
And sometimes I think that's true, but I actually think that at this point, no matter what I got her, the entire family would make fun of it.
I thought you said gifts as in like gifts on a phone.
No, gifts.
What a millennial response by Ryan Porth.
Yeah, yeah. It did sound like it. I think I kind of didn't say the T.
It's okay.
So.
Well, your
presence.
Keyboard. Were you speaking with your keyboard?
Missing the T.
Voice to text.
It's overtaking me. It's kind of like Tom Brady can just mind control a safety and make him play better. The T has overtaken my language.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line.
Like that, Jared?
WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring on Steven, who wants to weigh in on Love Week. Steven, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks for taking my phone call, guys. Now, I'm about to transform into Barry White voice, the singer Barry White.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yes. What annoys me about my wife is I'm a construction worker. I get off at 4 o'clock, and by the time I get home, it's at 6. Take a shower, eat, I'm ready to go to sleep. She likes to watch TV in the middle of the night. That wakes me up.
I know the feeling there. I know
now
the feeling
that
there.
That is annoying. I'm tired, lifting bricks. Come on, guys.
You're a hardworking man, Steven.
Yes, I am. 7 days a week.
Hardworking man. All you're asking for is a little sleep here, and then all of a sudden that TV goes off, the Bachelor is at full blast, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But just try to go to sleep.
Absolutely.
I cannot sleep with no TV on.
Hey, well, I'm the same way. Appreciate your call, Steven. I'm the exact same way. I know some people love going to sleep with like some background noise. I can handle a fan. The TV needs to be off when Rob Stanley goes to sleep.
All right, this brings up another annoyance for me.
Just adding to the list.
Oh, boy.
This could be interesting for you going home later.
It's the asking the question that she knows the response to. And
wow,
it relates to this. It relates to this because if I'm, you know, we have to go to bed a little earlier than some other people because we're waking up at 4 or 4:30. So she's up maybe 30 minutes longer than me. And she always asks, is this light going to bother you if it's still on? And I just look at her every time. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably so.
Let me counteract that by saying another one about me because I do the, huh? So Katie will ask me a question. I'll say, huh? And then I'll answer it. It's like, did you hear it or not? Now, I think
a little self-reporting going on here?
Yeah, I think what happens is the brain takes a half second to digest. But, yeah. But why don't you just shut up and then wait and answer? By the way, Steven, thanks for the call and the comment. You did not sound like Barry White. You sounded like a constipated dude. But we appreciate the call.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Joe from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Joe, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Rope.
Oh, my gosh. Am I on the phone with audio and print star Joe Rex Rope?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It is love week.
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
So my wife is from Youngstown, Ohio, and as a fellow Midwesterner, she says when the cove is over, you and Katie should come over and play euchre and drink some beer and eat some delicious Eastern European food that the Midwesterners do.
Yes, but euchre all day.
See, she had to teach it to me. Everybody who knows euchre is taught it by somebody from the Midwest, or they are from the Midwest. It's so fun. Anyway, so I'm sitting there on Twitter this morning, and the question pops up, and I say it to her. I'm like, hey, annoyance of your significant other. And she laughs, and she says the thing that annoys me without me even having to say it. And it's lately, and it's been huge and really frequent. My wife has become the most active listener in America. In that, if we're listening to a podcast, radio show, watching TV, whatever, like they start talking about something, she will start, or if she's reading something, she'll stop and start addressing whatever issue it is. Like she's a co-host or something. Like if she's driving in the car listening to you guys' show, like, and we're trying to listen to it, and we're driving, and you guys are talking about some point, she immediately will start talking over you guys. Like, she participates. She's the most active listener you will ever meet in your life. And hey, to the point that when I do, anytime I do it at all, like if I pause something or I'm listening to it or whatever, and I pause it and talk to her about it, she'll go, oh, look, you're being an active listener. Because I do it very rarely. But she does it all the time, and it can be infuriating.
Hey, Joe.
Other than that, she's absolutely perfect.
There you go. That's a way to close that out there. Thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate it. Look, we like participation.
So active there. Listener, but then also a commenter.
Right.
Yeah, listener / commenter. I get that.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome on Vincent from Dixon, who wants to weigh in. Vincent, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Okay, first of all, let me preface this by saying that she is an absolute Picasso in the kitchen.
Very nice.
Okay. But it takes her 3 hours to hot dogs, okay? But the flip side of that is once you take a bite of that hot dog that took 3 hours to make, oh, my God, it's the best hot dog you ever put in your face. And but just takes forever in the kitchen. When she has family coming over for a Sunday lunch or whatever, and she tells them to be there at 2, they all know not to get there till 4 because it's still not going to be ready yet.
Very nice.
But,
very nice.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, Vincent. Yeah, that's good. I mean, look, that's not a bad one in terms of at least the food's good. But if you're like, you're hungry, you want the food then. But
I got to try this 3-hour hot dog.
Yeah, it'd be pretty good.
Man.
All right, I think
some
today's winner
stuff.
I think today's winner came on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This coming from Chris. Chris says, quote, my wife can fart on command. I'd be moving in for the score, and she will look at me and fart. It's an instant mood killer, and I'm beginning to think that she does it on purpose. Oh, well, Chris, I feel for you.
Listen, here's the key on this show. If you've got a good fart story, you're probably going to win.
Probably going to win. Chris, today's winner of the $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. This was a fun one. We had some good entries. I mean,
yeah, you got to be careful.
You got to be careful.
You know, got to make sure to have the disclaimers.
A lot of disclaimers about how much you love your significant other before you go down this road. But it worked out.
I think we need a little more like positivity in the later part of the week.
We'll have some more positivity tomorrow.
So we got like crappy pickup lines, your significant other. Worst first date. Yeah.
We'll have a little bit more positivity on the program for Love Week. Close it out strong heading into Valentine's Day tomorrow.
That Love is good.
For us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.